that should happen for followers of Christ, not only in the holidays. During the holidays, we tend to emphasize it more, but for us, it should be every day. And that is this. I'm going to go a little bit on a limb here, okay? So please, bear with me for a second. I still really believe that God does miracles. I really do believe that, all right? The Bible said it. We say, here's where I think we go wrong. We expect things, sometimes God to do big things, and he does sometimes, doesn't he? But we expect God to do big things. Secondly, I think where we go wrong is we want God to do the miracles we want and not what he wants. We battle with that. But here's what I want to propose to you. I want to propose to you that God does miracles every day. And because we're not used to being in that mindset, or maybe because we're not walking with God the way we ought to walk, we miss them. Let me give you just a few examples, okay? Everyone here who has trusted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, would you raise your hand? Every one of you is a miracle.
Amen.
Every one of you is a miracle. If that grows old to us, shame on us. Shame on us. We just sang a song called Grace Alone, right? Somebody tell me what grace is. Somebody do that? What's great? Give.
Grace is trusting in the Lord.
Okay.
And trusting in him as your Savior.
Okay. Because he did something for us we don't deserve, right? He went to the cross to pay the penalty for my sin that I should pay. He went as my substitute. That's grace. I don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. You know what I deserve? I deserve hell. Grace. I want to suggest to you that's the biggest miracle in this world. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, if you disagree, tell me. I really believe that's the biggest miracle in the world. And here's where, as a pastor, sometimes I feel like figuratively shaking us, because I fall into this too, and say, why aren't we more vocal about the grace of God? Why aren't we more thankful as a people about the grace of God? Without grace, there's nothing. Is that a fair statement? Without grace, there's nothing. Without grace, this is all it is. Okay? Without grace, there's no hope. Without grace, there's no faith. Without grace, there's just live for today. If we have today, right? And so, as we come into this Thanksgiving season, not only myself, but me and a lot of other pastors, you wrestle with, okay, well, here's Thanksgiving, Christmas is coming up. What can we bring to our people that might be fresh and new? And I kept looking and looking, praying and looking, praying and looking, and God wouldn't let me away from this passage. I think I put the wrong passage in, but it's okay. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That's where we're going to be. That's for Wednesday night, but today's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I don't know what happened in the presentations. I don't know if I messed it up or whatever, but it's been a busy week. Paul, if I were a professor in college, and I would grade Paul on his writing style, I'd give him an F. And believe, I'm not taking away from what Paul wrote. Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But he had a habit of writing in what's called run-on sentences. You know what a run-on sentence is? Never ends. It never ends. So what we're going to do today is just take a portion of this great chapter of Thanksgiving that he wrote and kind of unpack it in a way that hopefully will minister to us. But I want to tell you this, each and every day, for a Christ follower, should be a day of thanksgiving. Whether you're going through good times or tough times. Ooh. Well, it's hard to give thanks in tough times, isn't it? It is if we become disconnected from God. Now listen, this is something, a principle that we need to latch on to. And I'm very grateful to some of our Bible teachers, our Sunday school teachers, because this is what they teach in their classes. This is what I try to teach in a high school. Even when life doesn't seem to be fair or things aren't working out or we're going through some deep waters, here's where thanksgiving can happen. It happens when God helps us to be obedient to Him, even through the tough times. Did you catch that? Obedience will always bring blessings. You agree? Obedience will always bring blessings. There's a difference between having a thankful heart because circumstances are good and having a thankful heart when the circumstances are bad. Right? We confuse joy and happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. How many of you were glad your car started today? Okay. How many of you are glad you have heat today? Okay. How many of you are glad that you're going to have food today? Those are things that you're glad for. If some of those things don't work out, you may not be glad, but we can still be thankful, can't we? Because thankful has to come from a settled relationship with God that produces from the inside out joy, which has nothing to do with circumstances. So, as an intro to that, I tell you this, that Paul writes this great letter of thanksgiving to the church in Colossae from prison. Did you know that?
Yeah.
From prison. Some of you know that, right? He writes it from prison. And here's why he was in prison. He was in prison because he preached the gospel. He didn't do anything wrong. He was in prison because he's preaching the gospel. And yet, now, if any of you have seen any jail cells, we have some law enforcement here. They're not the nicest places in the world. You know, some of the federal prisons for white collar crime, they're pretty nice, okay? Paul was not in a cell that we would understand in today's culture. He was in a cell that probably had mud floors, rats, no ventilation. I mean, it was hideous. And yet, in jail, God gives him a thankful heart. In jail. Oh. So this is what he writes. Colossians 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Timothy was not in jail, but he was visiting Paul at the time of this letter. It says, to God's holy people in Colossae. If Paul was writing this letter to us today, he would say to God's holy people, those who follow Christ, in Forked River. You need to start to read these things and say, oh man, because of grace, we're holy people. And the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from our God our Father. And I want you to look at this. Paul, sitting in his dank prison cell, he writes this. We always, what's the word?
Thank
who? God. We always thank God. The object of our thanksgiving should be God. Correct? Not a turkey. We're grateful for the turkey. In my case, lasagna. But we thank God. We thank God. Because here's the bottom line. Every breath you and I take is a gift of God. That's the bottom line. That is theologically and biblically true. Every breath that you and I take is a gift of God. We thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. The other thing I want you to get from this is that thanksgiving is always associated with prayer. Thanksgiving is always associated with prayer. When you meet somebody who has a good prayer life, you are going to meet somebody who's an encourager and somebody who always gives thanks no matter what. You can go to the bank on that one. When somebody has a good prayer life, when in the mornings or whenever it's time for them, they come to meet God, and they come with God and they speak to Him, and the person lets God speak back to them, and you have that dialogue. Before you know, God's going to cultivate a grateful heart in us. Thankfulness is nothing we can manufacture. You ever meet somebody who's thankful and a phony? Right? There are plenty of people who can be thankful and a phony. When true thankfulness comes, it comes from the inside out, cultivated by a good prayer life with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit is able to bring that and make it overflow in our lives. I don't like being around grumpy people. I'm sure I've been grumpy. And I know people don't like to be around me when I'm grumpy. But I really don't like to be around grumpy people because, generally speaking, grumpy people do nothing but what?
Right.
And criticize. Right? When God cultivates in us a thankful heart from a good prayer life, from a life of obedience empowered by the Holy Spirit under the authority of the Word, our hearts are going to be so filled with thanks, guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to grumble and criticize. But rather, we're going to encourage as we meet other people. Here's why Paul's thankful. I want you to listen to this closely. Because, in verse 4, he says, we have heard of what? Your faith in who? Christ Jesus. Let's stop right there. Paul is not saying this. By the way, Paul never went to the church in Colossae. This came to him by his servant called Epaphras. And Paul is saying, here's a church where Epaphras took the gospel, preached it, the church was planted, and it's growing. But it's not growing just in word. What I mean by that is this. They're not just taking an attendance and saying, so-and-so is trusted in Christ, so-and-so is trusted in Christ, so-and-so is trusted in Christ. And they didn't send Paul the attendance sheet. What he's hearing from Epaphras is this. Paul, I want you to know the effect of the gospel. Here's the effect of the gospel in Colossae. That people are coming to Christ, and Christ is changing their lives. Because in our church, Paul, we had some guys who used to walk down the street drunk. And they're not doing that anymore, Paul. They're living for their Lord Jesus. And Paul, we had some people in our church that were liars, and some businessmen that were dishonest, and they're changing. And not only are they changing, but they're changing in their attitude towards life. They're changing in their attitude in their language and what they do because of their faith in Christ. Another way of saying this is Paul is thanking God because their faith in Christ is making a difference in their lives. Do you ever stop and think where you might be today without Christ? Do you ever stop and think about that? Yeah, and you may say, well, you know, I really wasn't a bad person. Well, I can tell you I was, okay? And you ever want to stop and think where you might be without Christ? Now listen, and I mean this very sincerely. I thank God for all of you. Because those of you who are walking with Christ, we're not perfect. We know that. But as we walk with Christ and we grow together, we see how faith has impacted your lives by the decisions you make, by how you conduct yourself, by all of these things. And I'm not talking about putting on a mask. I'm talking about stuff that genuinely comes from the inside out. When we went out on Tuesday night to the hotel to minister to families, 20 people came out to do that. That's Christ. And that's grace. And that's Christ alone. Faith that makes a difference in your life, in how you live, that makes a difference in your family, that makes us better husbands and better wives, that makes us better parents, better employees, that makes us better students. Do you realize one of the biggest things that employees struggle with today is getting honest employees? You know how hard that is today? For somebody who is a Christ follower, can have a tremendous impact in the workplace. Somebody who is a teacher in a public school or a public setting can have a tremendous impact, even without a word, because of your faith in Christ. And then he goes on to say, I'm not only thankful for your faith in Christ, but I'm also thankful for the love you have for all God's people. I am so glad that we can come here and not worry about you screaming at each other. The opposite way to say that is this. I'm glad you love each other. And I'm glad you love me. Now, that's not to say we can't get on each other's nerve. That's not to say that we're perfect. That is to say this, that in my heart of hearts, and in your heart of hearts, you really want what's best and what pleases God. And then we can love one another. You realize we can love one another even with differing views on such things. You realize we can love one another even if you have a bad voice and you're standing next to me. Okay? You realize we can love one another when we're singing both contemporary songs and some of the old hymns. We love one another enough so we can sing each other's songs. We love one another for us that when one hurts, all hurts. We love one another enough, and you showed this in a graphic way. You sent us out with $600 to help families in need. We love one another enough to help each other when there's a need. We know about it. The church is really an incredible place when it's viewed rightly from God's eyes. And when we are on the same page as God in looking at this, and Paul says, I thank God because of the love you have for all God's people. And that doesn't mean even just our church, but all the churches that are faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no competition. There's no jealousy here. Sometime today, there's going to be a number of churches within a 10-mile radius of us who are glorifying God, who are preaching the gospel. Man, we need to pray for them. We need to support them. We need to say they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're not our enemy. They're not our competition. But they're doing what God has called them to do. And just as we aren't calling, doing what God has called us to do. And so, what do? We love them. Because they're part of the body of Christ. But here's where faith and love comes from. Look at verse 5. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you, where? And about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel. Faith and hope have always spring from heaven. Always. Christ died on the cross, rose again from the dead. Faith. We believe that by faith. Love comes from the fact that we know that while we were on this earth, John even says in one of his letters, they shall know us by our what? Love for one another. Do you realize that when we get to heaven, most of us are going to be probably surprised at some of the people there. And we're going to find out very quickly that, that heaven is not just Baptist, and it's not just a Presbyterian or a Methodist or this or that. We're going to find out very quickly that heaven is composed of people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And that denominations fall away at that point, that the differences fall away at that point, and it's going to be a time for all eternity that we can love one another. But it needs to start here. It needs to start here. There's all sorts of jokes. I think probably Jared will get into this in Revelation as he goes up. Goes into the, but there's always some truth to some of the jokes, you know. One of them is that, you know, a man dies, he's a believer in Christ, St. Peter meets him at the gate. We have no indication that happens, by the way, but St. Peter meets him at the gate and takes him into heaven and gives him the tour and he says, see that voice which we've over there? They're the Pentecostals. They're making a lot of noise and celebrating. And that group over there, they're a little bit more quiet, that's the Methodists, and that group over there, that's the Presbyterians, and all the way in the corner are the Baptists. And they're all the way in the corner because they think they're the only ones here. And, you know, we get into these crazy mindsets. And man, God works miracles every day. And he can work a miracle in a Presbyterian church, and in a Methodist church, and in a Baptist church, and in a Pentecostal church, and a Charismatic church. He can work those miracles every day. Some of you come from those backgrounds. And you know that. Our hope is stored up in heaven. And know this, that the gospel is true. Why is it true? Because it's not my gospel, but it's God's. And God can't lie. I am so grateful coming out of this political season that I know there's at least one person who will never lie, and that is God. And I know that what I read in the Bible and what I've heard from faithful ministers in my past is true. It's true gospel. True gospel. He says, in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing through the whole world, just as it's been doing among you, since the day you've heard it and truly understood God's grace. Very quickly, here's what I want to emphasize to you. We are ambassadors for the living Christ. The Bible says that. I'm not making that up. We are ambassadors. We are entrusted with the greatest message that mankind will ever know. The only message that can rescue people. That message rescued you. It rescued me. We live in a world that needs to be rescued. Rescued from what? Rescued from the penalty of sin. And that message is there. The moment we receive Christ, we realize that message is real. And because the Holy Spirit lives in us, man, that message is with us wherever we go. And so, if you have opportunity, I was thinking through this section this morning in the shower. A lot of my good theology comes when I'm in the shower. Well, I'm thinking about this in the shower this morning, and I'm saying, here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want you to think that when I make this statement that we are ambassadors for the gospel, we need to be bold about it, that doesn't give you the right to go into work tomorrow, stand on your desk, and start preaching. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is this, that it does give you the right to go into work and work as a person of integrity, to bring Christ into the workplace so that your boss knows you are honest, you are trustworthy, you are faithful, and when the opportunity comes up, then you can tell them why. You can tell your coworker why. Then I had, some visions of some of you in high school or grade school going and, getting in front of the class and preaching. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is showing the love of Christ to everybody in word and deed. And that means that you treat other people with dignity and respect. That's how the gospel bears fruit. Because when we start to earn the right to share the gospel with other people, when they come to us and they say, there's something different about you. You're weird. It's good to be weird in that way, by the way. You're weird. I saw how you reacted when so-and-so was yelling at you, or I saw how you reacted in that circumstance. What makes it different? Why are you this different? Now you have an open door. You say, let me tell you about the Savior who has changed me. He says, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant who was a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. How many of you can remember the faithful servant who shared the gospel with you? How many? Do you ever thank them? Do you ever tell them you're grateful? Because through them, you heard the life-saving message of Jesus Christ. Maybe they're not here anymore. But sometimes, if you didn't say thanks, man, write them a letter. Even though they're not here anymore, say thank you. You made a difference in my life. You have learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister, and who also told us of your love in the Holy Spirit. Now listen, I don't know how many of you I will see Wednesday night. I hope I see some of you, if not all of you, on Wednesday night. As we come together, we'll just share some things together. But I am so grateful for all of you. I am grateful for you being here. I am grateful for what you do here. When I say that, I'm not just talking about the visible ministries. Some of the visible ministries, the Sunday school teachers, the discipleship groups, so those things are more visible. And I'm grateful for all of that. I'm grateful for our teachers. I'm grateful for our musicians. I'm grateful for the singers. This is all how we express Christ in us. I'm grateful for those who clean the church. I can't emphasize, you know how important it is in the ministry of Christ to have clean toilets. I mean that in all sincerity, because that's a reflection of who we are. That when people come in here, we don't want them to come into a pig pen. Right? We want them to come into a place that's presentable, that reflects Christ. So I'm grateful to our cleaning people. I'm grateful to our ushers, our greeters. We have ushers who will greet you, some in the parking lot. I am grateful for them because sometimes when we have visitors, that's the first Christ they see. You are all important in the kingdom of God. Every single one of you. I'm grateful for our leaders. I am grateful to serve with them side by side. And I don't want us to lose this, okay? Because, we don't agree on everything, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And that should supersede a lot. You know where else this comes in? Because when some of you go through deep water, there's many here that nobody ever knows about who will come alongside of that other person and walk with them. no matter what it is. And just show the love of Christ. That's part of what it is to be the body of Christ. We have a lot for which we can be thankful. But it starts with the gospel. It starts with Jesus Christ. It starts with knowing that every day God does miracles. For those of us who have had the privilege to see a child being born, what a miracle. Incredible. We take it for granted. Yeah? And I'm not, Dr. K's not here today, but I'm not belittling doctors, but I'll embarrass Mary Lou a little bit. Mary Lou and I had a friend, and she was in the later stages of her pregnancy, and her husband suddenly died. So she asked Mary Lou to be her coach for when she gave birth. And it was on my birthday. Never forget, I was working up north. We were living in Lakewood. Mary Lou's driving me to the train station. Before we left for the train station, phone rang. It was this woman. And she says, I think I'm in labor. Okay. She says, well, I'm going to take Lou to the train station. I'll be over. By the time Mary Lou got over, the baby was crowning. Okay. So Mary Lou delivered the baby before first day got there and all, right? So they take the baby and the mother to the hospital. Mary Lou has to sign the birth certificate. The doctor still charged the woman for delivering the baby. Right? And I'm saying, here was a miracle. Now listen, you need a doctor. Sometimes you have a breach or problems. You know, please, don't misunderstand me. But here's a miracle of God that really didn't need a doctor, you know, in that instance. Miracles happen all the time. We have to get out of the mentality, just because things don't go our way sometimes, doesn't mean God still doesn't do miracles.